Everyone, I'm Lula.
And I'm Jude.
And welcome back to Just
Yay!
Oh my God, it was such an enthusiastic cheer.
I feel like we're getting better at the whole Zoom podcasting. Maybe not, but I feel like it's a little bit more fluent.
Yeah, I'm feeling more casual about it. I think at the beginning I was like, oh my God, once we press record, I'm like, have to be locked in. And
Yeah.
now I'm leaned back in my chair.
Now she daydreams, doesn't listen, doesn't care.
I now I doodle. I doodle when Jude starts talking. Just kidding. Okay. High low buffalo.
Yeah.
Wait, sorry. I want to preface. Quick preface. Quick intro that we're recording on June 20th.
Yeah.
When is this coming
Like
out?
late. Like we're recording a lot of episodes.
If you didn't listen to the last one Jude and I did, we explained that it's because I'm going away and it's going to be too complicated with time zones and guests and everything to record virtually. So we're recording a ton. And I just think it's nice to be like, this is what day it
Yeah, I
is.
like that context.
And then
We're
talk about
a little
things.
ahead of when you guys like maybe everything will be
Yes.
changed.
Yes. Sorry, that was the worst intro I could have given to
Well,
explain any of that.
okay, this isn't my high, but it is a high. I have been really, and we can probably talk about this a little later too, but like I've been really enjoying this like action-packed week of pod. Like it's been
Same.
a little stressful, but like when we hit record, it's been so fun. Like we've just every like honestly, almost every day this week we're gonna have something related to the pod that we have to do pretty actively, which is kind of crazy.
And definitely abnormal for us.
Yeah.
Or at least compared to the school year. I mean, we were so much like, there was so much going on and so much you and I are both doing. It was so time consuming. We never, ever would do like three episodes in a week, like three
We could
recordings.
never do that. Like, that would be so overwhelming.
Yeah.
We couldn't even find time to edit practically on Fridays.
I'd be like, okay, I could do it from 2 to 3 a.m.
like,
Maybe I'll be free. Is that your high?
no.
That's mine.
Okay, I have
Okay, do
another high that
yours.
I just have to give. I
Okay.
have to give a shout out to my mom, Alexa.
Oh, shout out
She came and visited me this last weekend, and it was just perfect. I don't know. It's so fun.
Aww.
Just like a few bullet points on that. I think that one, being taken care of as a 20-year-old is just so nice. Like, just be like eating good food and just like having someone like be like, oh, like, do you have this? And like, did you think about this? And like, how can I help you? Is just like such a thing that like I kind of feel like I'm a little lost just because like I'm like living independently in the like in Arizona. Like, I don't have a mom actively in my house.
Or like people you
Or
know,
people I know, or anyone,
right?
or anyone for that act. So yeah. And two, and this is another bullet point, is just like I think going back to our conversation last, like just our conversation that we had from last episode with just you and I, if that wasn't
I'm
clear.
following, I'm following.
Okay.
Yeah. The last Lula and Jude episode.
Yeah. I think it's really nice when my parents can like just share what's happening in their life and like their worlds and what's bringing them stress and how they're navigating through it. And it was just a lot of like mature conversations that I had with my mom about like my life and her life and how life is confusing. It kind of felt like it was a podcast episode sometimes, and that was just lovely, and it made me feel less alone and more taken care of in general. So shout out Alexa, thank you for being a great mom. That's it.
Aw, shout out. That's so fun. Let's see. What's my high? My high is on, I was gonna say super generally, just like sitting in the fact that I'm like excited about a lot of things coming up is super fun and a change for me. I think I really spend a lot of time practicing like gratefulness. Like I try to. When I'm journaling or just pondering, whatever, ruminating. But I don't really like a lot of my gratefulness is about present and past stuff. Like I'm always kind of like, oh, I'm so grateful for like, this is my situation now, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which is so valid and good to practice also. But I think it's sometimes super helpful, like, internal check-in to be like, and I have all these things to look forward to. I think during the school year or just generally when my schedule is so much more insanely packed, I like can't even think about what's coming up because it just feels like overwhelm. But now I can kind of, I'm still like, I don't know, we're a month into summer. I'm like base, I feel like I'm like freelancing. Just like between the pod and this like little remote job I have that's basically create my own schedule. It's kind of been hard coming out of Yale where everything is scheduled for you, even like all the clubs and everything. It's just GCal invites, blah, blah, blah. It's been hard to figure out like how I want to spend my time throughout the day, like my actual hours, etc. You get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I think figuring out like what makes me feel good during the day and then like still having time to think, not being so overwhelmed and running around all over the place has been really good because I'm like so excited for so much this summer and really in the fall with going abroad. And that's just been nice to think about. And the pod, when I was like, this is my high. I don't know. I was really overwhelmed. The fact that we were like, okay, we're going to record 5 episodes
Literally crazy.
basically in a week and a half.
Crazy.
And it's just like, it's crazy logistically. And it's also crazy because I don't know, these episodes, especially with guests, are a lot of like emotional work and like put a lot of my energy just as a human into them.
Yeah.
And like during my day, I never want to like record an episode and then like continue doing little tasks or something. I'm always kind of like, oh, I need to sit. And I was very stressed that it was all going to be too much and that I was not going to be able to be present in the episodes because we were having so many back to back. But it's been amazing.
It's been pretty awesome.
It's been super fulfilling and made me increasingly excited about the pod, which is so fun.
Yeah.
So thank you for being so awesome.
I know it sometimes sounds like we like come on here and just like ramble, which we do. Like that is a fact. And it's structured rambling a little bit. Like I
Yes.
don't like we were talking about like Lula and I were talking about how like it's just like every moment we live, like we're kind of thinking about the pod in some way, shape, and form. Like even if it's like an idea of like, oh, we should talk about this on Geeking Out, or like, oh, there's a video we should do for like a promo video. Ugh, I hate social media, but like any of that, right? Like,
Please.
please. But like any of all of our life is in some way our pod. And so it kind of is pervasive and it's overwhelming. But then you kind of come into this bubble of this conversation and it's like, oh, like, ah, it feels good.
It is. Yes, I love it.
Okay, low.
Yeah.
My low is very, I think, intertwined with today's topic, but I will just like kind of give a bullet point and we can expand on it later. I just think I'm missing my friends a lot. Yeah, like I just was thinking about it. Lula sent me an awesome article that I think we're gonna kind of delve into. And like, there's just so many people I care about in this world, and it's really hard to stay connected with everyone, like just on a frank level. And it's not that I like don't want to stay connected with a lot of these people. It's just like it's a lot. And yeah, and I think being alone in Arizona grinding, like I just get kind of consumed. And then I'm just like sometimes forget, oh wow, like I really miss this person or I really miss this person. And it's just like, oh, and just listening to my heart. So I think I'm missing just a lot of people, which kind of sucks, but I'll be reunited at some point soon.
I second. I empathize hugely. Yeah. That's not really my low, but I've definitely been thinking about it. Just in terms of like, it's definitely in the back of my mind, more than in the back of my mind, when I think about really being excited to go abroad. I'm like, oh God.
Yeah.
The other side of the commitment is like, whoa.
And I'm like super excited that we're going in the fall. Like I still feel like fall was the right choice, at least for me. But
I do too.
it does add on another entire like three. I mean, I guess if you did spring, you'd also have summer off. But like, I don't know. It just increases the time away from a lot of college friends, which I'm also missing high school friends. So it doesn't solve all of it, but yeah.
Yeah, all of the above. My low is social media.
Ugh.
Wah, wah. Have we done an episode on this?
Like on social media alone?
Yeah.
Not really. We did an episode on like
Like,
phones, I think. Screenagers, right?
right. I don't even know. I feel like it's the plague.
It sucks.
It sucks, and it sucks everything out of me, and I cannot stop scrolling. And there was a long period, must have been the end of freshman year or something, where I did not have social media because I was like, I'm losing it. And it was so great. And it's so crazy to me. I mean, it's not crazy because I know it's like a drug, the addiction of it all. But it's so crazy in action how fast people become addicted to it again, including myself, the second it's redownloaded. We haven't really talked about this. I think there's a brewing, like, very meta episode about what it's like to have the podcast and the act like behind the scenes. I mean, short anecdote, I do the socials for Just Friends,
Yeah.
and I generally enjoy the opportunity to like be creative and make some funny videos or posts or whatever. But it's so fucking frustrating. It's so, I kind of think, impossible to be posting so consistently and not sort of end up basing your like worth on the numbers, which sucks because I love the pod regardless of how it's doing. I don't even know how many people listen to episodes, like because I don't have the business logins or whatever. I have absolutely no clue. And there's something so amazing about being free of all of that. Also, self promo. This is a huge part of my low, the promo part of it. But
No,
I'm
it's
finally
so exciting.
fucking doing it, guys. I said I would. I'm releasing the EP. Da, da, da. It's literally infamous at this point. But
Will it
anyway,
be out by the time we release this episode, you think?
the single will be. I don't think the EP
Guys,
will be.
listen to Lula's single. It'll be linked in the podcast description. Check it out.
Evelyn Hugo, everywhere you listen to music. It's actually like, here's the thing. I'm so proud of it.
Hell
I
yeah.
really think that song is so good. And it took so much work. I wrote it fucking winter break freshman year. And now it's summer going into junior year. And of course, part of that delay is the whole EP. I wanted to like work on more than one song. But I hate promoting myself. I hate it. And I think this is a bigger conversation of like, hee, I'm shy. And also, we have a podcast and I talk about myself and everything that's going on in my brain all the time. But there's something about the pod, and I think it's probably like the fact that it's just us talking, like you and me, that it doesn't feel like I'm selling myself in some way or like people are going to be listening. Like, I don't even think about the fact that people listen when we're recording
Yeah.
at all. And I think like I just want to release music and like never say anything about it. And like maybe someone will find it. But then I'm also like, well, if everyone else who's releasing music ever is on a grind to like get streams, then I should be doing that. And then I commit myself to like, okay, I'm promoting it. And then I'm like, well, if it doesn't get this many pre-saves or whatever, I feel like I shouldn't have released it in the first place. It just sucks. It taints everything. It taints every part of my life.
Yeah.
That was so dramatic. But I just mean like the podcast and like my music are two hugely important creative outlets and endeavors to me. And I want to keep them like that and not resent some aspect of them. Anyway, that was a longer rant than I intended, but social media.
I have so many responses. Like, there was a reason that I came to you and was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, right? Like, I'm think I'm gonna save most of my thoughts for an episode that we do, because I think we can talk for a very long time on it. But I second that. Fuck social media.
Fuck it all. Okay, Jude, what's your buffalo this week?
Okay, so this is a quote from Mark Andreessen. It's Andreessen and Horowitz, so Andreessen. Anderson? I don't know how to pronounce his name.
What?
But he is a venture capitalist, and he wrote an article about AI, and he had a like it was a very long article, very interesting. His argument is like why AI will save the world, basically, and like how like all of these concerns about how AI is going to take jobs and how AI is going to like but gain intelligence and kill us all, and all of these like he kind of like makes his argument against it, which take it or leave it, it's interesting to hear different both sides. Some I agreed with, some I didn't. But one part that just really struck me was a quote that I'm going to read to you right now. Perhaps the most underestimated quality of AI is how humanizing it can be. AI art gives people who otherwise lack technical skills the freedom to create and share their artistic ideas. Talking to an empathetic AI friend really does improve their ability to handle adversity. And AI medical chatbots are already more empathetic than their human counterparts. Now, I don't like, I mean, you can disagree with any of those components, but the part that I'm really focused on is the AI creators. And I just have like felt this in the last kind of few months as I've started playing more and more with AI. It's pretty interesting that AI has given me some abilities to be able to create things that I wouldn't have otherwise. And that part I just think is a really interesting perspective on creatives and art and just artists and create in general. Because I think a lot of times when I at least think about AI, I'm scared how quickly it will come for AI jobs and so or sorry, AI creatives in some way. Like if Midjourney can create such an incredible piece of art, what happens to the painters? But another way to think about it that I think this quote kind of illuminated for me is like there are a lot of people that have a lot of ideas they want to share that they just literally don't have the technical skills to be able to share them. And like why does having to go to art school and be able to and study a ton and like get mentors and like just a lot of barriers to become a quote unquote great artist? I'm curious to see if AI, keyword curious, to see if AI lowers the barrier to entry and allows people who have all these really powerful ideas that they want to share them in a different way. Just another perspective on AI.
Yeah, interesting. I can't talk about AI without sighing.
Can I give one other just example just that came to my head?
Yeah.
Maybe I have like a lot of like maybe I have, I don't, this is a real hypothetical, but maybe I have like a ton of like musical talent, but I can't write lyrics or vice versa. I am good at writing lyrics, but I can't sing, but I still want it to be my voice. Like at some point, maybe I can use AI to have me be the singer while also like conveying my ideas and feeling. I don't know. I don't know what that's all. It was just a
Yeah.
perspective that I thought would be worth sharing.
I think I like what you said. I don't really enjoy the quote. Like, I just don't understand how robots can be empathetic.
Program them like very well to understand. Like even, nah, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole. But even like the ChatGPT E. Jean Carroll correspondence,
Yeah.
the ChatGPT, the way that like it empathized with this 35-year-old, it wasn't really empathy. It was synthetic empathy. But like, it knows how to acknowledge real feelings that people are experiencing because it has encountered them so much, even if it's
Yes.
synthetic.
But I just feel like it's like an oxymoron. Like I just do I feel like empathy is like such a human quality. Like I don't like why would I want synthetic empathy?
I mean, I don't.
It's just a question. I don't mean to be like
Yeah.
da 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 da.
Or I think some people are so craving empathy in any term that they're willing to take synthetic empathy. That's like, I think that's like, I actually think it's more of a commentary, the whole like fear of like, now we're gonna go down like a whole rabbit hole here too, but like, I think it's such like a commentary on like the fear of like having like, oh, what if you have like a girlfriend that's AI? Well, if people didn't feel so alienated from one another because of technology in the first place, and we were actually talking to each other and caring about each other, I don't think that we would need to resort to a robot to hear, oh, how was your day? Like, people are craving connection.
But it's like, how is investing yourself more into technology gonna help that?
It isn't. It's a continuous
Like,
loophole.
we need to delete
But we
technology.
won't do that. That's not how humans like. But let's take this example. Let's go back to social media, Lula. Are you gonna just delete social media? No, because your entire life, in some way, shape, and form, kind of is like I deleted social media from my phone. I still catch myself like going on the internet looking at Instagram for no reason. It's a drug, and it doesn't make me happy.
Yes, you're making great points. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to take for me to be convinced of AI. I hope I never am, honestly.
I hope you aren't either.
So I'm just like, yeah, I'm just always going to be a contrarian on this subject.
Yeah.
Whatever. Let's.
Yeah, this is going to become part two if we keep talking too much. Let's go.
I'm just, we're going in circles. I was just going to be like, why are people like falling for that? But like, not falling for it, but like, why would anyone not be running away from it? But then I'm like, yeah, people do need empathy because everyone's so alone, blah, blah, blah. TBH, this is a fine pivot, I think. So this is my buffalo, but I think it's also going to be the majority of our
I
episodes.
agree.
We're in a very ranty mood tonight. I need to preface this buffalo with a huge shout out to C21,
Woo!
which is my s literally woo,
I
which was
love
my
them.
sweet last year. Nocklin, Andrew, Eli, John, Matt literally changed my life. And it's so crazy. And they, I don't even know. I'm literally at a loss for words for these humans, but I haven't talked about them much on the pod, except that Nocklin
Was a guest.
was, yes. Oh, yes. Nocklin was a guest. We did the sleeping episode with her. Anyway, she was one of my randomly assigned roommates, freshman year. And then at the end of freshman year, it was pretty clear that we needed a new suite and like didn't know most people in JE because Yale, you have to like pick your suite mates out of like the smaller population in your residential college. So it's very limiting. Like, for example, I could not have lived in a suite with Jude because we're in different residential colleges. Interesting. I had always really hated that format, but my suite last year really made me love it, and I was kind of like, oh, I get it. Because I never would have like become as close with them, maybe even met some of them otherwise. So yeah, Jude.
I was just going to say, it truly was an eclectic group of people from all different walks of life who were all so kind and just so homey. Like they made, like you guys made a home.
Aw, yeah. It was like an insanely safe space. I've never been one to like want to live with my close friends. I've just been like, I need my own space more than that. And then they all fucked me over because they all became my best friends. So love them. And I'm living with most of them again next year. And hopefully we'll all be reunited senior year. That's the plan. Dot dot dot. Anyway, we'll see. So after that huge shout out, whatever, we're all over the world right now, summer. Eli, who is right now in Korea, shout out book, sent this adorable text to our little group chat the other day. And it was a link to this article. He gave no context. And then, like 20 minutes later, Nock sent a picture of her sobbing. And it was so cute. And the article is called "We Should Be Ambitious About Our Friendships." And it was published, let's see, oh, like a week ago, June 13th, 2023, in Elle. The author is Rainsford Stauffer. I could have butchered that. Anyway, I read it. I thought I was just going to share this as my little buffalo because I was like, oh, this is really sweet. And then I was like, wait, I have so many things to say about it. And Jude and I talk about relationships and friendships a lot, clearly. Shout out Just Friends. So I think it'll be fun to dive into.
Yeah, I think we should dive into it. Lula sent it to me and I was like, oh, I don't really have that much to say on this. And then I like read the article and I really encourage you, even though we're going to talk about it, please read this article. It was it's not too long and it really just was so obvious. Like it made some really
Yeah.
clear, obvious points that like just for
Yeah.
some reason I and I think a lot of us choose to overlook. So go check it out, read it, make your own informed decision. But I also have a lot of thoughts to share with, at least in talk with you, because we haven't talked about it yet.
And Yeah, and everyone, this means a lot coming from Jude because he will not read anything. You've got to convince him. You've got to put a gun to his head. So
Or record an audio version so I can listen to it.
I was like, should I record myself reading this article and send it to Jude so he can listen in 2x speed? Anyway, okay. Should we just start?
Yeah. But I do feel like we should give like a one, like a TLDR overview of the article is that
Okay.
the author argues that we should be ambitious in our friendships, not just our career, not just our romantic pursuits, not just like our family and like raising a family, but we should put as much effort as we do in all of those, as well as into our friendships.
Yes. I think the word ambitious is like, I still don't really like, I don't know. For me, that just has a lot of connotations of like very professional and like transactional. I don't even know. I'm just like making gestures with my hand in the air. Paths, like ways to approach something.
I'd say
Like I
networking
don't,
in my head.
yeah, exactly. And I think that was honestly my one part where I was like, I think this argument is a little, should be more nuanced than it is on paper. Because I think like, at least personally, and probably a lot of other people have experienced like quote unquote ambitious friendships with other people that did end up being networky. Like, I've definitely been in situations where I'm like, oh, this person was using me for this or whatever it was, like trying to know my other friend or like just wanting me to like invite them to something or whatever the fuck. So I think there is a real like a valid hesitancy and like resistance to kind of like admitting that we are all a little networky in our relationships. I think there's a negative networky and I think there's a more positive one.
Yeah,
I don't know.
it's funny because I think networking has become so like derogatory in some, well, there we go. Derogatory
Yeah, there
in
we
some
go.
capacity, because like I'm thinking now on how many relationships I've had where they introduce me to a friend and that friend becomes me, one of my closest people. Like even the way we met through a friend. Like there
Totally.
has been a real beauty in like networking that isn't like a professional networking, not in like a, I need to like raise ranks, but like that's how you meet people, you talk to people. And I think that like the word ambitious does have also negative connotations, but I don't know if there's a better word, right? Like I think it's trying to get the idea of like putting hard work into not just your career but also into your relationships with friendships, and that was a unique, I don't know. Like, why do friendships come kind of, I don't want to say secondary because I think friendships are some of the thing that I value most, but like, I don't take the
But
same like driven approach in my friendships as I do in my other aspects of life. They're kind of like, oh, I have it.
and I think that is, I think that's exactly kind of the main argument. It's like humans take them for granted. And we need them. Like, we all need friends for real. There's like a biological, humans are dependent creatures and interdependent and like need each other for survival in tons of ways. I think later in the article, she talks about like some physical and mental health statistic or something of like people know that they need friends. No one wants to feel lonely, but it just doesn't remain the priority. Like, quote unquote, life gets in the way.
Which gets back to the AI stuff too. Like, of like, if you feel I'm not, we don't need to go back to this whole conversation. But you kind of, there's not really anywhere else to go. Social media and AI.
Yeah. The reason why I really like this article so much is because I think it did offer sort of solutions. Or you Jude's shaking his head. I will say maybe not solutions, but I think reaffirmed something that I do. In approaching my friendships, that I've been like thinking I was crazy for doing for like all year. This isn't like a bigger part of the whole article where it's talking about intention. So the author talks about this educator and quote friendship coach, Danielle Jackson. Jackson recommends putting a post-it where you can see it and listing 3 to 5 people you want to connect with and how, i.e. call them, watch a movie, get coffee, whatever. And this was super reaffirming to me because I've been feeling like a freak like all year, probably like for many more years than just this past year, being like, why do I need to write down like call XYZ friend? Because I feel like everyone just does that intuitively. And I feel like there's something wrong with me that I need to be like writing it down. But I know it's not because I like will forget to. I mean, sometimes you will. If I was insanely busy, I would definitely forget to call people. But generally, it's not like, oh, I'm a forgetful human and like don't care about you. And that's why I need to write it down. It was just like I couldn't explain why I was doing it. But I recognized that I was and other people weren't. So I was like, something's wrong. Like everyone else just like knows to text their friends or call their friends or whatever. But this article puts it is that, or made me feel like by writing it down, I'm like making the intention more tangible. Right. And I was thinking about romantic relationships, which I think is a very helpful comparison, honestly, in this whole article of like, why do we treat friendship so differently? But like, when you're in a romantic relationship, like, you're like planning dates and stuff, you know, like you're showing that you're committed to them and devoted to them, whatever. And you like, a lot of people carve time out of their days to call each other and like talk to each other about when they're gonna call because they're like showing that they care. You know what I mean? It's actively like talking. I mean, you and I fucking do this. We're like, okay, let's set up a time to talk. And sometimes it's businessy. And sometimes it's like, Jude, I need to go on a rant. When are you free? And I like fucking put it in my Google calendar. And I do think that's a little freakish. But I also am like, it's important to me. It's more important probably than all the other tasks I'm doing that day. And I'm going to like write it down and it's tangible. And I'm like, I don't know. I think it just reaffirmed for me that I'm like, yes, it's valid to be putting that work into other forms of relationships. Okay, that's my fucking soliloquy.
Okay, I loved it. And it's challenging some of my thoughts that I came into. So I'm going to share my original perspective. And I still think there's some real seeds to this, but I'm kind of convinced. I like the shift in romantic, like looking at it in a romantic way. Like, of course, like, if you care about a relationship, you invest in it, and we have busy lives, and sometimes you have to schedule people in, and like, that's not like that actually shows the intention rather than disrespect. I don't even know what the term is. It feels icky doing that, but I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
Okay, so I'll just have a few responses to that. So I do the same, or I did the same. This is such a confession. Oh, God. when I was creating my Notion page, one of my Notion pages, I had like talks and like just things that I needed to talk to people about. But one of them also was like all the people I care about and like when's the last time I reached out to them? And like just like in case like I hadn't talked to someone for a long time, I wanted to know.
Yeah.
And I never actually ended up using it. And I was like, that's weird because I like using a lot of my Notion pages. And then this past weekend, one of my friends, I'll say his name, Sam. Shout out, Sam.
Shout out, Sam. Miss you, Sam.
I miss him so much. Damn.
Ugh.
Aww. He called me and I couldn't talk at that moment. And I just found myself not calling him back on Saturday. And even Sunday, I remembered he called me and I was like, oh God, I got to call him. And I wrote it down in a note. Like I was like, call Sam. And I sat there for a second and I was like, nah, I'm deleting that. Because like, I love Sam and I want to talk to Sam. But I don't want to have to call Sam. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
That conversation is not going to be fun. That conversation, I'm going to be questioning like when I can get off the phone call because I have other things going on in my life that are on my to-do list and I'm stressed. Like, I don't want it to be a job. I don't want it to be like work. I want it to be something that rejuvenates me. And so I took it off. And this morning, I had a feeling. I was like, oh, I kind of want to call Sam. And I called Sam and it was so lovely. And it was super brief. But I could have talked longer. He was boarding a flight. But like, it was so lovely. And it was rejuvenating. It didn't feel like work. And so maybe this is just how my brain works, is that like when I write it down and it's like something to check off, it feels like work. But this also just brings me to my larger conversation that I also want to like move, just like bring up, which is like part of me hates having a phone because it adds an implication that I must be in contact with people. And the thing is like you're not always supposed to be talking. Like, and that's okay. And like, it's sad that we are in this like very separate world where like I don't get to talk to you all the time, right? But like, we aren't maybe supposed to be talking every single day in general. I mean, we kind of do,
We're
but
freaks.
like in general, right? And I don't know. I think that's okay. I think that's still, it still can be considered a friendship. It still can be considered an ambitious friendship. And like, I kind of long for the days where you just had a postcard where like that's how you get to communicate with people and you're not texting every day. Like that's not real connection either. Yeah.
You know something crazy?
What?
I had a dream. Sorry, I have so many things to say, but immediately have to say this one. I had a dream like 2 nights ago that when I was studying abroad, the only way I let myself talk to people from home was through postcards.
I was thinking about doing something low-key like
Yeah,
that.
like pretending I'm like at summer camp in the woods and being like, sorry, can't reach me. Because I was like, I don't know, I think earlier in the day or something, I was stressing about like a SIM card or
Yeah.
fucking some fuck shit. And then I was thinking about it like subconsciously, whatever. And then it showed up in my dream as like, I just never got like an international number or like cell plan and only did postcards. And I was like,
That's
food for
cute.
thought.
That's cute.
Yeah. Also, just because I love collecting little like cards. I have like every card I've ever received, just so everyone knows. If
Oh.
you've ever written me a shitty card, I have it stored and I
Yeah.
remember. Okay, anyway. Yes, I had the same thoughts. Not only reading the article, but just about the post-it thing in general. Like I've just noticed I've had those thoughts doing it in my life. I think when it's like a call someone back thing, I'm always like, well, now it's an obligation and I don't want to do it and I don't want to call you back. When it's like, oh, I miss you, let me write down to call them. That feels like setting intention and being like, I want to work on, not work on, but kind of work on like our relationship and build it. And like, I love you and I'm writing down, oh, let me reach out to these people. But I've definitely, including this summer, definitely felt the whole, oh my God, this or this person called me or texted me or whatever. And I just do not want to call them back at all. And then I get into a whole spiral of like, well, then is the relationship even really working if I like don't want to, not working, but like serving me or whatever, if it feels like such a task to get back to them. But I think I've always had a weird thing with this, especially with distance. I just, and I've talked about this in pods before, like I am not a like long distance communicator. I think you and I talk so much because of the pod, like it never feels like something like a planned conversation. Do you know what I mean? Like this is what we are doing in our lives. But like when I'm at school, I do not talk to my home friends and I do not talk to my family that much. And when I'm home, I do not talk to my school friends. And I feel bad about it way, like I'm not saying that proudly. I feel bad about it way more than I feel good about it. And then I'm like, I wish I could just throw out my phone so no one had the expectation. I think that's part of why I've had Do Not Disturb on for an entire year. Because I'm like, I don't want people to like think that I'm available. Like, I don't want to be available all the time. When you started saying the thing of like, I kind of wish I didn't have a phone. I remember this thing my mom told me when I first got a phone. That was something like she was suggesting that I res take longer to respond to people, like just texting wise. Because she was like, I always take like a day or two to respond to most people's texts because I don't want them to be texting me expecting that I'm going to respond immediately. Like I want them to be texting me assuming that I will get back to them in like a day. And I'm like, when you say it like that, even expecting that someone will get back to me in like a day is not something that I even want to hold. You know what I mean? Like, I would so much rather people be off doing their things
Yeah.
than be like, oh, they're waiting to respond to my text. How cute. Like, they're sitting by their phone. I don't know. But I still feel like I feel my takeaway more dominantly than I feel yours. I think yours is part of mine. The whole, like, I don't want it to become a task thing.
Okay, so you think it's a, I mean, yeah, like I mean, I like the framing, the perspective you had about honestly the romantic relationships. Like that is a very fair thing. I will say that I think one thing I'm grappling with in the context of all this is this concept called the Dunbar's number, which is that like this idea that like humans have a limited capacity to hold around 150 connections in their life, right? Like intimate,
I've
close
never heard of
connections.
this.
And it's one theory for like the evolution of our brain. I learned it in a neuroscience class. But the more important thing that I'm stuck with this theory is that like we aren't able to hold on to all of our relationships. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough connection. We don't have enough, I mean, it's really time. But also that maybe not that much want too. Like there's a lot of people that I really care about that I just literally in this exact moment of my life can't connect with every single week, every single month, right? And maybe that's selfish or maybe that's selfless in some way. Like I think that's what I'm grappling with is like I felt so bad. And I think when I was younger, when like I wasn't feeling like a consistent communication, I felt like, oh my God, like something's wrong with us. Like something's wrong with our relationship. Like I'm losing this person. And I think it's okay to lose people. I think it's okay to lose connection with people. That does not mean that they're not important. So I guess that's like the thing that comes up when I read this article also is like, yes, you should be ambitious about relationships, but in the same way that you're ambitious about career, let's say, where it's like, I care about this career path, I'm going to pursue that, but I don't want to do these things. And it's just as important figuring out what you don't want to do and what you don't want to spend your time on doing in this exact moment. That doesn't mean you might not change your path. That doesn't mean that in 10 years you're going to be like, wow, I kind of want to go back to this career, right? Or romantic partners or anything. I don't know why I struggle to think about that in the same connection with friends, where it's like in you're growing up and ever since you're growing up, you're co accumulating people that care about you and you care about them and you have to keep them in your world and you keep connecting with them. But there are a lot of times where like this person just I can't really connect with in this timeline of my life. And that doesn't mean I don't care about them. It doesn't mean that I don't want to have a relationship with them in the future. But in this exact moment, I can't. It just doesn't really, it's not feasible for a variety of reasons. What are your thoughts on that? Does that resonate? Do you disagree?
Yes, both, all of the above. I don't think I disagree. I think I majorly agree with it. When you were first talking about the number, the first thing my mind went to was Instagram. Because, like, probably once a month, I'm like, how am I following over 1,000 people? And I, because, like, this is really, I think we should do a social media episode because clearly, I don't know, it's on my mind a lot
As
or
well as mine.
something. Yeah. So much of the Instagram scrolling and the getting stuck in the feed thing and it being like so depressing is because it's like, what am I looking at? And like, is this even gratifying? No. And then I'm like, well, why am I not in control of what I'm looking at in my feed? Like, on, like, these are the accounts that I chose to follow, and I open the app and I hate it. And then I'm like, I think there are obviously so many other reasons to hate the app, but there have been so many times where I'm like, oh my God, I want to unfollow like 700 people right now, but I feel so bad doing it. And like, that's a whole whatever. I think there's so many things to talk about with that I don't want to get into right now. I think it's more social media based than anything. But I think in the context of this relationship, it's like losing a friend, I think just feels like such a failure. And it's interesting because I think like comparing it to the romantic relationships, which has been helpful for me so far, I haven't really done that with the whole like accepting you might be out of phases thing with the platonic relationship. But that's so valid. That's just like a real human experience and phenomenon. And I think it's so strange. I think with romantic relationships, there are a lot of in obviously a breakup is insanely hard, but I've always just been like friend breakups are harder. I don't know. I just feel like there are so many things to kind of blame it on if a romantic relationship fails. Like you can pick apart so many things and be like, well, this is why we're not working right now. But friendships, for some reason, it feels like accepting you're moving on is just like moving on in terms of accepting like you guys are not going to be friends. Just feels more like accepting that you are just like not compatible humans, like period. Or at least in the certain phase that you're in, whatever. Yes, dude, you're smiling a lot.
So I agree. That's how I feel too. And if we take her words literally, ambitious, thoughtful, goal-oriented, and what was the other word that you kept using? It started with an I.
Intent, intention,
Intentive. Intentive? Ah!
intention, Jude, intention.
See, guys, this is why I need to read more. If you take her definition of ambitious friendships, then they should be as thoughtful as romantic relationships or careers. And what I mean by that is that I think part of the reason it feels like it's, I feel this too, like you failed if you lost a friend or something, or why it's so much harder is that like, because it's there's so many ways to have friends. There's so many ways to like getting a meal with someone. Like that could be friends, right? Like you have such a broad definition of friendship. Talking once a month, that could be friendship versus talking every day. And so there's such a wide spectrum of how you maintain a friendship. But if we really think about having an ambitious friendship, someone you really intentionally, I still intentively, I still don't know the
No,
word.
intentionally.
Oh, intentionally
Yeah.
with an A. There we
Yes.
go. There we go. But like you get what I'm trying to say. The words have
Yes,
jumbled me
yes.
up. But right,
No,
like
I do. I do. I think, yeah, I think it's interesting. I think this is bringing it back to the whole like sweet life thing. I don't mean the show. I mean living with my sweeties. It's so, I never thought that I would have as close friendships with people that I live with, especially with a bunch of guys that I didn't know
Yeah.
and like moving in with them. And they have like literally completely changed my perspective on Yale and like what it means to be friends with someone and like the process of making friends, even in a crazy, crazy positive way. I think it's so cute that Eli sent this to us because like one of the parts that really stuck out to me at the end was that the author brought up this other author, Rena Cohen, who talks about how she lives, she's an adult, whatever, well into her life, talks about how she lives in a home with her husband as well as their two friends who have two kids. And then she's a 5-minute walk from her other best friends. And then she has 20 other friends within a 15-minute walking radius. And just reading it, I was like, why does this feel like a fake dream scenario? Like a fake reality. And I think when you and I talk about like college so much in terms of like the leaving portion of it, it's so, at least for me right now, centered around like living in such close proximity to so many people who I like love and want to see. And just summer is such a wake up call of like, you're not gonna be living like that. And this article just made me be like, why not? Like, if we all wanted to, we absolutely could.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Adam Neumann, who is the founder and I mean not CEO anymore of WeWork, who was criticized for plenty of the things justified for how he handled WeWork. But before WeWork, he had this idea of like a co-living for adults. And like, why can we not have communities of adults like that want to ha be with their friends, basically, and live with their
Yeah.
friends? And like, he was so, people like are disgusted in some ways by that idea, which is crazy because like, that's the best part about college. And like,
Yeah,
it's the
people
best part
hate
about
it.
life. And I don't really know why. And I think if you take that and look at it like an ambitiously, like as friendship is just as important as career, and like you should be ambitious about that as well. And we set that as a value around society. I think that people would be happier. There'd be less loneliness. There'd be less sadness, less hurt.
I completely agree. 100%.
I'll have my little last cute note that I thought was kind of funny to bring up, which is the author also, we have so much to talk about in this little article. It's
I
kind of
told
crazy. Yeah.
you. Jude was like, what if we run out of things to say? I'm gonna have to like cut down for time.
But basically, the author has a really interesting definition for a partner, and she describes it as this mix of deep and profound knowledge of another person, but also a kind of everyday presence and sense that that person is interested in all the mundanities of your life and will debrief with you at the end of their day. And are we partners then, Lula? Like, that's my, I guess that's my question. I guess that's my question.
It's so interesting to me because when I read that part, I was like, shouldn't this be the bare minimum?
Yeah.
I mean, even just the part of like you come back together at the end of the day and talk about the mundanities or whatever, like that's what my suite did every single day.
Yeah. Like every
None of
day.
us would call each other partners.
No.
I don't know.
I mean, my takeaways from this conversation, though, are like, it's okay to care deeply about your friendships and treat them ambitiously and make a real effort as you would in other aspects of your life. And at the same time, that being true, it's also okay not to have control over friendships and not feel like you need to keep every single friendship. Like, friendships are like, they are living things. They, like, we are growing. Of course, they are growing as well because it's two humans, right? Like, they are gonna grow. Sometimes they'll die. And that doesn't mean they can't, like, kind of have a rebirth. And so, yeah, I don't know. Like, just not be as, like, stressed about connecting with people and listening to your heart and connecting with the people you want to connect with and making intention to do that. Like, be thoughtful about who you want to connect with and then do that. And like, even if that includes putting that on a list. I don't know. I'm
I
lost.
agree. Perfectly said. No, I think that didn't sound lost. It sounded like big takeaway, be intentional about relationships.
Like,
Like, regardless of the form.
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
And if you don't want to, probably listen to that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. Friendship from Just Friends.
Woo, I was gonna say we could change the name to Platonic Partners.
Guys, our next season, we're rebranding
And
Platonic
this time we'll
Partners.
have stickers that actually work that you can actually buy. No, that
Okay.
was a joke. We're keeping just friends. It's too good.
It's too good. Let's do We Play.
Okay. Oh shit, we have so much left of the ep. Oh my
We
God.
have, this is why I
Fuck.
was like, fuck.
Sorry.
It's fine.
Okay, we play.
How did you play this week, Jude?
I have something very small, but it is so good for my soul. And maybe not great for the environment, so I'm kind of grappling with that. But I have been going on just aimless drives and listening to music. And it's just such a lovely way to get out of my structure and just kind of be with myself. And like, I can't really do much when I'm driving, so I just kind of sit and listen to music, and it is just, it's play for me in a real way. So yeah, that's mine. It's very simple.
That's lovely. I don't know. I kind of very on theme with this episode. Just want to say that my play was like reconnecting with people. Like, this is kind of the first week back that, like, a lot of people have been home, especially Ellen Marina.
Shout out.
Shout out. And I don't know. I'm living with the two of them this summer. which is crazy. I'm so excited. I'm moving in like 2 days.
That's literally so perfect
And
for the conversation.
it's exactly. And it's just, I think it's because we've been friends since we were fucking zero that there's something about like when the three of us are reunited coming home from college that just immediately feels like we're children. Like the whole energy is just like so playful and like hee hee ha ha. And I love them, and that's that. That's what I'll say.
Woo.
Woo.
Yeah, can we just take this opportunity to pivot?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Luna and I have been talking. Mindmeld isn't that fun. It isn't that much play over Zoom, at least. So we've been thinking about other things that we could substitute and end our episodes on. And we've been thinking about maybe doing like an audience shout out slash like just allowing to us to engage with the audience a little bit more, because right now the only person that we really know listens is Mr. Bean, and he doesn't even listen. So
Yes.
so we want to start this segment off with a true loyal listener that needs such a big shout out. Shout out to Louise Halverson. Come on, give a shout out. He's such a legend. Yeah, and he's been doing this really cool thing where he shares his thoughts with us after the episode, which I really have appreciated whenever he's moved by something we say or whatever. And we want to just share one of his messages that he sent us, because it hit hard for me, hit home hard for me. I just finished the pod for this week, and I couldn't stop thinking about this story I heard a while back. One day, a fisherman was lying on a beautiful beach. Oh, wait, actually, I'm going to give a tiny bit of context, otherwise it won't make sense.
I was gonna say.
Yeah, this message was sent to us after our episode on productivity and work.
Yeah, it's on the fluid productivity one.
I just finished the pod for this week, and I couldn't stop thinking about this story I heard a while back. One day, a fisherman was lying on a beautiful beach with his fishing pole propped up in the sand and his solitary line cast out into the sparkling blue surf. He was enjoying the warmth of the afternoon sun and the prospect of catching a fish. About that time, a businessman came walking down the beach trying to relieve some of the stress of his workday. He noticed the fisherman sitting on the beach and decided to find out why the fisherman was fishing instead of working harder to make a living for himself and his family. "You aren't going to catch many fish that way," said the businessman. "You should be working rather than lying on the beach." The fisherman looked up at the businessman, smiled, and replied, "And what will my reward be?" "Well, you can get bigger nets and catch more fish," was the businessman's answer. "And then what will my reward be?" asked the fisherman, still smiling. The businessman replied, "You will make money and you'll be able to buy a boat, which will then result in larger catches of fish." "And then what will my reward be?" asked the fisherman again. The businessman was beginning to get a little irritated with the fisherman's questions. "You can buy a bigger boat and hire some people to work for you," he said. "And then what will my reward be?" repeated the fisherman. The businessman was getting angry. "Don't you understand? You can build up a fleet of fishing boats, sail all over the world, and let all of your employees catch fish for you." Once again, the fisherman asked, "And then what will my reward be?" The businessman was red with rage and shouted at the fisherman, "Don't you understand that you can become so rich that you will never have to work for your living again? You can spend all of the rest of your days sitting on this beach looking at the sunset. You won't have a care in the world." The fisherman, still smiling, looked up and said, "And what do you think I'm doing right now?"
And with that, I think we will end.
Yeah.
I don't even really want to elaborate.
No, I love that. Just something for you
Okay.
guys to listen. Please send us any of
Yay.
your thoughts, questions, anything to
Yep.
us individually or at the Just Friends Pod Instagram. Even though we hate social media, it's like our only way to connect with fans still.
Or
All
TikTok or YouTube.
right.
I'm in hell. And also, it doesn't have to be related to the pod, it can literally be
It can be
anything.
anything, but just,
You can be like, hey, your pod made me realize I hate all my friends.
yeah.
Or it can be like, hey, what do you guys think about mountains versus beach? And we could probably talk about it for an hour.
Yeah, just
Okay.
all your thoughts. Okay, thank you so much for listening, you guys. As always,
Ya.
bye.
Bye.